Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And he said this in verse 40, Psalm 78, 40. How oft did they provoke him, talking about how often did the Israelites provoke God in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Here again, in black and white, people limited God. Now, some people thought, oh, God is limitless. Well, God is limitless in Himself. He can do anything. All things are possible. But God has bound Himself by His Word. And He said, there's so many scriptures on this. Psalms 138 verse 2 says that He has magnified His Word above His name. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that God upholds all things by the word of His power. If He was to violate His word, the universe would self-destruct. So when God said, like in James chapter 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. God told you to resist the devil. He's bound Himself by His Word. He can't violate that Word. If you don't resist the devil, the word resist means to actively fight against, then God, you could say, will not, but you could say cannot, because He won't violate His Word. He will not do something contrary to what He said. He is not going to rebuke the devil for you. And so when you're praying and saying, oh God, please get the devil off my back, and then nothing happens, and you say, well, I thought you loved me. I thought that you were faithful. He is. He's faithful. He said, you have power and authority over the devil. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And if you don't take that responsibility and stand up and recognize that if you don't resist the devil, he's not going to flee, then Satan's going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. And don't blame God. The Bible says you're supposed to speak to the mountain. That's to your problem. Not speak to God about your problem. You're supposed to speak to your problem about God. You're supposed to say, sickness in the name of Jesus, get out of my body. Satan, I command you to stop. And yet most Christians are saying, oh God, please set me free. Stretch forth your hand and heal me. If it be your will, heal me. That'll get you killed. You aren't doing what the Word says. You are under this false doctrine that, well, God, it must be your will. Let me ask you this. If you think God is the one that's made you sick, why would you go to the doctor and try and get out of God's will? Let me just be as blunt as what Jesus was in Mark chapter 7, where He says, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. I'm saying this in love. It may not sound like it, but brothers and sisters, you're hypocrites if you say God made you sick and then you go to the doctor to get out of sickness. If you really believe God made you sick, then don't go to the doctor. Let that sickness have its full course. Don't take any medicine. Try and diminish it and minimize the effect. Let sickness have its full effect in you. If God really gave it to you, why don't you learn your lesson? You know what? All of you know that that's wrong. I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying that would be consistent with that theology. No, you ought to hate sickness. You ought to fight it every way that you can. And it is not God who put that sickness on you. It would be wrong for you to say God gave it to you and then you resist it and try and get out of it. And yet, this is what religion is teaching, that no, you couldn't have this. God must have a purpose. God's working some redemptive purpose on the inside of you. Right here, we see through the Israelites that we know God brought them out of the land of Egypt so that He could bring them into the promised land. He brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the commandments and things. And so there was about a year's period of time. It was only an 11-day trip from Egypt to Canaan, but He had them stop at Mount Sinai, and within 1 year, of coming out of Egypt, he had them entering into the promised land. He sent the spies and they were going to enter into the promised land, but the spies saw the giants and they came back with an evil report in Numbers chapter 13. And they said, sure, the land's a great land. They even had one cluster of grapes, one bunch of grapes. It was so big they had to put it on a pole and carry it between two men. Man, it was a great land. God had this wonderful thing planned. He didn't have 40 years in the wilderness planned. That wasn't his plan. His plan was to get them into the promised land, and yet they rebelled and said, they're giants, we can't do it. And they gave up. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness, not because that was God's choice. Now, it was a punishment of God, but that wasn't God's choice. They chose not to go into the promised land. And so the Lord says, you're going to wander in the desert 1 year for every day that you searched out this promised land. And that wasn't God's will. I think everybody understands that. And yet, that is inconsistent with the doctrine that God is sovereign. These spies couldn't have operated in unbelief and fear and have brought up a negative report if God hadn't have allowed it. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love, but how dumb can you get and still breathe? This is not what the Word teaches. It's just not what the Word teaches. God's not the one putting problems on you. Look over in Romans chapter 8. I have to bring this verse out because people that don't know any other verse in the Bible know this verse. You will hear this quoted by unbelievers. People out on the street that don't know anything else know this verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So everything that happens, even if it's death, even if it's tragedy, even if it's heartbreak, whatever it is, God causes this for some good purpose. He's trying to make you better. That all of your hardships are actually God working something redemptive purpose on the inside of you. That's not what this verse is saying. First of all, look at this verse. It starts with a conjunction, and. And means that this links the 28th verse to the previous verses. And if you went back to verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit helps our infirmities. And the Holy Spirit intercedes through us. And it's talking about the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And if you looked at that verse, it says that the Holy Spirit, let's see, how does it say? But the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What's the next verse, Carol? He that searcheth all hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The word that is used in the Greek there for makes intercession is, I'm probably mess it up, it is something like parakletos. It's a compound word, and what it means is he takes hold together with us, is what that word literally means. And the significance of this is that the Holy Spirit doesn't just intercede for you automatically without you doing anything. And it's certainly not you on your own doing all of these things. But when you start interceding with groanings, then the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you and makes intercession. In other words, this shows that the Holy Spirit doesn't intercede for you until you start interceding. And as you intercede, then the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you and energizes it and quickens it and empowers it and makes it more effective than you would be on your own. And we know that all things work together. Now see, in the context, this is saying that when you are interceding and resisting the devil and doing what you know to do, then the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you, and then things begin to work together for good. Things just don't work together for good for anybody and everybody. I heard a man one time that had just come from a funeral, and then he stood up to preach, and he had just done the funeral of two young people who were drunk and doing drugs, and they were speeding in a car going too fast. It was raining. They slid and couldn't make a corner, hit a telephone pole, killed both of them. And he had just come from the funeral and he got up and preached. Well, we know that all things work together for good. We know that God is using this, that in the mind of God, this was his perfect plan. Maybe God saw the tragedy that would come in their life. And so rather than prevent this tragedy and have them suffer, he killed them. Boy, that is a piece of logic, isn't it? I've heard that so many times. Maybe God knew that this child was going to grow up and have problems, and so just kill him. Makes sense. In a perverse way. It's not what God's doing. God didn't lead them to get drunk and to do drugs and to speed on a road when it was raining. God didn't do any of that stuff. Those are just laws of nature. First place, Satan is the one that enticed them. As far as we know, those two kids, I talked to them about this, they weren't born again. They went to hell, and he thinks that somehow or another this is God that sent those two young people to hell because it was somehow or another working together for good. Brothers and sisters, God didn't cause that. That's perverse. Let me just say this. You would have to be a religious person that has been brainwashed and made gullible to believe stuff like that. And I won't mention this name either, but one of the leading people in the United States that has major television networks and is one of the largest influences on our generation started off as a Presbyterian when they were a child. And this guy's sister got sick and died as a young girl. And the church said, well, God had a purpose. God took your sister. This was God's will. It's working together for good. And this person said, I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe God would do something like that. And then he said, if there is a God, I don't want anything to do with him if he killed my sister.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK157 titled, God is Good, God is Faithful, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
I want to thank those of you who have become a regular monthly partner with us. Did you know you're the ones who are allowing me to take this truth around the world? We actually only have, I think it's about 9,000 partners that produce somewhere around $200,000 a month, and yet our television bill is around $500,000 a month. The rest of it goes up and down depending on how many people respond. You know what? We need more people to become partners with us. I would like to ask you that if this program is blessing you, if you could see the benefit of this touching other people, then please pray about it and then become a partner with us today.